So let's talk about vacation, you know, because we just talked to somebody who's traveling all the time, traveling around the world. And I know that a lot of people have gone on vacation and some stupid stuff has happened. It's inevitable that something's going to go wrong. Sometimes, though, it's a disaster. And some of those stories that that people tell about their vacation nightmares are funny now. You look back at it and you go, that's pretty funny now, but it sucked when it happened. And I would love to hear those vacation stories. Since we were talking about traveling, I thought we'd take a fun angle and talk about some of the more disastrous nightmare things that happened while you were on vacation. And if you want to join us for talk or text, it's 312-981-7200. Dan, you just recently went on a little vacation.
Yeah, we went to Disney World. Yeah. But thankfully, we've been really lucky. I don't have any horror stories about, you know, any lost luggage or bad accommodations or anything like that.
Yeah.
We've been pretty fortunate, knock on wood.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people have had, some issues. When Heather and I went to Ireland, we rented a car at the obviously at the airport, rented a car, and Heather had never driven on the other side of the road before, or had the steering wheel on the right side of the car instead of the left side of the car. And so it took a long time for us, and we got lost, and it took a long time for us to get to the hotel the first day, right after we landed in Dublin. We had, you know, directions and everything, but like, And God bless her, you know, she did a great job. And by the way, we were there for almost 3 weeks. And so by day three, she was ripping around on the streets and totally used to, you know, being on the other side of the road and driving from the right side of the car. It was weird for both of us because, you know, I would always go to the right. I would always go to the right door. You know, and I go, oh, that's right, the steering wheel's there. So, and then, you know, and I would sit, obviously, in the passenger side, which is on the left side, with the map and everything, and give her the directions and all that stuff and navigate. And it was weird. It was very, very weird. And, you know, we got lost, and it took us forever from the airport to get to the hotel. And so we immediately went to sleep, like because we had just gotten off a long, it was an 8-hour flight, and so we immediately went to sleep and just, you know, put that behind us. And then the rest of the trip went, really, it was great. It was one of the best trips I've ever gone on. I think it was actually the best trip I've ever gone on ever in my life.
It is an adjustment because I remember when we got, I had a 2.5-week trip to London when I was in college. And the first time I went to cross the street when I was back in the States, I looked the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, thankfully, I did, you know, I caught myself, but I definitely took a step out into the street looking the wrong way.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, it's true. They have roundabouts in Ireland and everywhere, you know, like in Europe, roundabouts are everywhere. They're just not very they're just not very popular in the United States. There are a few, you know, that you can find, but they're everywhere in Ireland, and that took a little navigating. You know, because it's a little, at first you're like, okay, who gets to go now and what, you know. So all of those issues with driving all piled up during the first couple of hours we were in Dublin, because it took us forever to get to the hotel, and Heather was getting really frustrated, and, you know, we had to pull over a couple of times and just calm down, you know, because, like, merging was really weird and all that. And then the first roundabout that we went to, we had no idea when to actually go. And that's not a, you know, that's not a vacation nightmare. But yeah, it took a while. That was the big adjustment that we did. Now, when we were in, you know, Galway or Dingle or Doolin or any of the places, we didn't drive around in, you know, like, once we got to Dublin, the car stayed, you know, the car stayed at the hotel, and we, you know, we walked or took a cab, when we were in these places. But driving to different cities in different parts of Ireland, that's when we... So it wasn't a lot of city driving. That was the other good thing. It was a lot of highway driving just to get to the different parts of Ireland that we were going to. And the longest trip was obviously to Belfast. That took the longest. But yeah, so that was the first, you know... But I'm trying to think of some of the other... We went camping one time and a tornado... went right over us. Have you ever been in a? Have you ever seen a tornado like in person, Dan?
No.
It's pretty scary, man. So our tent got ripped apart because of this tornado came. I remember we were in the I don't know why we went into the car and we sat in the car because we were outside. We were in the middle of nowhere. There were no buildings around or anything. We were camping. And I remember we were in the car, and as we were going into the car, I looked up and the tornado was like above us. You know, it didn't touch down, but I saw it go across, and it was terrifying. It was really terrifying, but it was really quick. That was the thing. It was really, really felt like it went past us, and then everything. It was like the end of the world for about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, maybe longer, but it felt long. But then it was gone. And we had to repair our tent and everything, and then so. But that's like there's another thing. Weather, you can't control weather. So, so if you guys have some sort of nightmare stories that you went that happened while you're on vacation or you're traveling, 312-981-7200. Never had lost luggage. A friend of mine did. When we went on that New York trip that I was talking about, but I've talked about a lot. One of our cast members' luggage didn't show up. I don't know how just that person's. They eventually it showed up, and it showed up like 2 days later, and he had to take a bus to LaGuardia. To pick it up, which is always a lot of fun. Taking a bus out of Port Authority to LaGuardia, that's just a real pleasure. I don't know if anybody's ever taken a bus out of Port Authority from LaGuardia to Port Authority or Port Authority to LaGuardia. Not pleasant. So this guy had to go back to the airport and pick up the luggage. He asked them to bring it to the hotel, and they said that he had to come and pick it up at LaGuardia, which I thought was ridiculous. I mean, they lost the luggage. They should have sent it to the hotel, but he ended up going back to LaGuardia. And I never really understood why. So, I know a story that scared the hell out of me. If you listen regularly to the show, you know I hate to fly. I'm terrified of flying. And I wasn't like that when I was younger. It didn't hit me. Until that trip to New York in 99, that was the first time when I was like, I think I'm scared of flying. And now I'm terrified of flying. And I went to New York again in 2001. My girlfriend at the time and I went out. She had a cousin who lived there. And, you know, so we were going to stay with them and see some Broadway shows and do the whole, you know, New York thing. And she was going to continue on because her brother lived in upstate New York. So we stayed in New York, I think it was 5 days or 6 days or something. And then she was going to continue to upstate New York to go skiing with and snowboarding with her brother. So I had to fly home alone. And again, not good with flying. And so I immediately, you know, when I was a drinking man and I flew, I immediately went to the bar. In the airport bar, and proceeded to, you know, down some booze in order to, you know, soothe my nerves. So we get on the plane, and I immediately, you know, close the window, the shade. You know how some people keep the shade open when I'm on. If I have a window seat, that shade is closed. I don't look out it. I don't want to see what's happening. So I sit down, close the shade, and we take off. And then the worst part is obviously taking off and landing are the worst parts. And all of it is bad, but taking off and landing, I think, are the scariest parts. Because, you know, historically, if something bad is going to happen, it happens during the takeoff or the landing. That's usually, you know, that's the most risk for something to go wrong happens during that. Okay, so we take off, and I'm nervous, I'm clutching, I'm white-knuckling, and I'm sitting there, I got my eyes closed, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So we get up, and all of a sudden, you know, we get to the point where, like, your ears are popping and all that stuff, and we get up there, and we got the climb, and then all of a sudden, it evens out a little bit, and then the captain comes on, okay, over this. This is exactly what he says. This is exactly what he says over the speaker. I hear, this is your captain speaking. There's something wrong with the plane. That's the first thing he says. And I immediately go, I'm dead. That's it. I'm dead. I'm going to die. We're going to crash, and I'm going to die. That's it. And he says, we're going to have to return back. This is out of LaGuardia again, fantastic LaGuardia. We're going to have to turn the plane back and land back down at LaGuardia and have the problem fixed. There's a problem with the pressurizing in the cabin. So now I'm thinking, okay, this whole, you know, the pressurizing in the cabin, everybody, we're going to see a mass scene from screeners, from scanners, and all of our heads are going to explode because they can't get the compartment right, you know. So now we turn around, and now we have to land, which is, again, the second worst part. So now we land, okay, and they tell us to deplane, so they pull in. We get off the plane, and now I'm completely, like, freaked out. And I've got Scott Oaken picking me up at Midway, and I can't get a hold of him. This is, like, I didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a cell phone at the time. This is in 2001. So I called his wife and said, if for some reason he calls you or something, can you tell him that clearly I'm not going to be home in time? So about 45 minutes goes by, and they say, you can get back on the plane. They fix the problem. And I'm like, I'm not getting back on that plane. Get a new plane. Get a different plane. I'm not getting back on that plane. You can't pressurize the cabin. My eyes are going to blow out of my head. I'm not. No. And so we get back on the plane. You got no choice. You get back on the plane. I sit down and I'm nervous as hell now. I think the whole thing is going to blow up. And so we take off again and I'm freaking out completely. But by the way, everybody else on the plane was pissed. They weren't scared. You know, there were like a lot of people who travel all the time. You know what I mean? And they're like, ah, man, I'm going to be late for my meeting. It's that kind of stuff. I'm thinking we're all going to die. And they're thinking I'm mad because I can't get to my meeting. It's inconvenient. So we take off and, you know, the takeoff is terrible and I'm terrified. And then we finally get to like cruising altitude. And the captain says, everything is fine. You know, the problem has been fixed and we're going to arrive in Chicago, blah, blah, blah. Because of the inconvenience, the bar, it's an open bar. And I was like, well, now you're talking. So I start boozing it up. By the time we're about to land at Midway, I'm pretty drunk, you know. And so now the window is open. I've got the shade up, and I'm looking outside. I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. And as we're landing, I'm watching it, normally terrifying by it. And so I finally get off the plane. I get my luggage. I jump in a cab because obviously Scott's not there, and I went straight to Simon's. So that was, I mean, that wasn't really a nightmare story, but I was scared to death on that plane by myself. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And nobody I'm with, I'm not even with any loved ones here. My head's going to explode in a plane. So not good with flying, man. And to Ireland, it was an 8-hour flight. Luckily, there were movies that I could watch, but they showed Marley and Me. So the entire plane was crying at one point. All right. Why don't we break? Everybody hang on. If you've got a vacation sort of nightmare story that it's funny now but wasn't funny then, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking traveling and weird things that happen on vacation. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies and You Big Dummy. And we are counting down to Dummy of the Year. We've got more finalists from last year, some of the winners from last year. And we'll crown Dummy, the biggest dummy of 2018 as we get to that. And so much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking with a travel writer a little while ago, and I thought it would be fun to talk about some of the weird things that have happened, or some of the things that have gone wrong, or some of the nightmare vacations that you've gone on. And I've got a few here, some few vacation horror stories here that we've got from the internet that are kind of fun and kind of, you know, it's funny now, it wasn't funny then. That's what we're talking about. So nightmare vacation stories. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi Nick, I can commiserate with you fully. I was 17 years old, it was 1950, and one of the airlines offered a $100 trip down to Miami Beach, week stay on Collins Avenue, two meals included. How could you go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Trip down there was fine, it was great. We got back on the plane, and it was propeller driven, and I had a seat. of course, near the window. And there was a storm. And lightning hit one of the propellers, and it started smoking. And we came down in Atlanta, Georgia, had a six-hour layover, and I made all kinds of promises to God that I would never fly again. And you know what? I didn't for 40 years.
Wow. What was it like when you flew again, though, 40 years later?
It was not good because my husband was on oxygen, and of course we stayed on the tarmac, and the cylinder was going out. And I told the flight attendant, and she says, "Sure, on my flight." So she had to run around and get a couple more cylinders so that he wouldn't die.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I drive. And also, I rode the train.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Elizabeth, thanks for calling.
You're welcome, darling.
That's hilarious. You know, I love that. Yeah, I drive. You know, it's really funny. I didn't actually fly on a plane until I was like 18 or 19. Because when I was growing up, we drove everywhere. Because it was just the three of us, or if anything, it was, you know, the three of us and a couple of cousins and maybe my aunt. But we drove to Florida. That's how we found that horrifying haunted house that almost killed everybody. That was funny that morning when we were talking about it, and other people said, "Yeah, I've been to that haunted house." Remember, people researched it and found it online, and every testimonial was like, "That was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life," and that was the haunted house right outside of Orlando, and I guess it was infamous. But anyway, we drove everywhere. Whenever we went on a trip, we drove. My dad loved to drive. And so I didn't get on a plane until I was like 18 or 19 years old. That was the first time I was ever on a plane. Which I think is, I guess that's unusual. When was the first time you were ever on a plane, Dan?
You know, that's a good question. I want to say it was probably like, I was two or three because my mom took me to Puerto Rico.
Mm.
But in terms of like remembering, is probably seven, eight.
Yeah, that's almost everybody I know. That was the case. Like I remember when I first flew, it was to New York. First time I ever flew was to New York. And I remember I went with a friend. And it was my first adult trip to New York. I was in New York as a kid. We drove to New York. But I remember saying that, yeah, this is my first time in a plane. And they were like, "What?" You know, like, what? So, but all right, we've got some stories here. Here's one of them. These are vacation horror stories. And if you have some that you would like to share with us, things that went awry while you were on vacation, 312-981-7200. Here's a story. We got a coupon for a historic hotel in Atlantic City. Along the way, we had a tire explode on the car. The tire exploded. The motel we were going to spend the night sold our room to somebody else since it was not paid for yet. And they had a coupon, too. The only motel we could find was not booked, was awful. The curtains were fabric nailed to a window frame, and I got bed bug bites on my arm because I accidentally put it under the sheets. We slept on top of the sheets. At that historic hotel, they put a $100 hold on us, which was pretty much the last of our cash after getting our tire replaced. Oh, so the other hotel was because they had to stay because their tire was getting repaired. Okay, so the historic hotel then tell them to put $100 on hold. I bought a giant famous sub, and we shared it for like two meals. And then gambling, I turned $500 into $40, and it paid for our tolls home. Well, they got something out of the deal, right? In Atlantic City... I've been to Atlantic City. In Atlantic City, I don't gamble. Atlantic City to me seems like a very depressing place. You know, it just does. Have you been there?
I have not.
Have you ever seen the movie Atlantic City? Which is a really great film. A great film. Burt Lancaster, Susan Sarandon. Louis Malle directed it. Great movie. But anyway, I was depressed while I was there. It just wasn't pleasant. And to have all that crap happen in Atlantic City, tires blown, you know, staying in, getting bed bugs, you know, that just not a, I was never a big fan of Atlantic City. Here's another one that says, we went to Hawaii with my mom in high school. When we got back, her husband had left her and moved out of the house while we were gone. Oh, my God. Oh, man. And you know what? You know, that woman will forever associate Hawaii, which is, yeah. I've never been there, but I hear an amazing, beautiful place. That's where you spent your honeymoon, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And it is and beautiful and amazing, correct?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And you're going to associate that awesome place with her husband leaving her and clearing out the house. That's terrible. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We want to hear some of your vacation nightmare stories, traveling problems, all of that stuff. It's funny now, wasn't funny then. Well, that's still not funny. The guy leaving, that's never going to be funny. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. The news is coming up after this. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Friday morning, that means all the regular Friday features are coming up. You big dummy, as we climb the mountain to crown the dummy of the year. We've got more finalists from last year to read those stories, and then we'll vote. And then you'll get to vote, too. We always take our third vote from 312-981-7200. So there you go. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. Right now we're talking about vacation nightmares or travel stories where stupid and bad things happened. Vic, are you near the mic? Okay, he's not. I can't because the camera's not. Camera's not on. I wanted to ask Vic if he had any travel nightmare stories. But anyway, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're talking about those vacation horror stories, travel problems, and things like that. 312-981-7200. Here is Paige on WGN. Hi, Paige.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what's up?
So this happened. I was in Hawaii with a boyfriend, this guy I was dating at the time. And so he wanted to rent mopeds, and we were going to go driving up Diamond Head. So we're on the mopeds and stuff, and keep in mind that, you know, I didn't know any better. So here I'm in, like, short shorts and just a bikini top. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, probably in his swim trunks, whatever. So anyways, we're going up Diamond Head, and then there came a part where you had to merge into traffic, like merge on. And this is a pretty good street, you know, like come, like the cars are coming fast, right? And nobody told me how when you're supposed to turn. I guess you got to kind of like lean in with your turns or something like that. I don't know. All I know is I said to myself, like, wow, this is right before it happened. I thought, wow, I wonder what it would be like to hit the pavement.
Oh, God.
So then all of a sudden, yeah, here comes these cars. Well, I panicked because the cars were coming. I thought I was going to, like, just go right in front and get hit by a car. And as a result, I panicked. I didn't know how to stop. I just totally put my foot down, and then I went flying off the moped.
Oh.
So I'm so now I flew off the moped. I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. And I just remember looking up, watching all these cars pass me by, and I was like, wow, I cannot believe nobody's stopping to help me. I'm, like, in the street. Like, in the, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
The cars are going by. I'm thinking, that is so horrible. Well, anyways, thank God then some like, I don't know if they're tourists, whatever they are, but they stopped and, like, they picked me up, thank God, and then they took me to the hospital and you know, my boyfriend. And but the worst part is so after I'm literally in shock, everything's going on, you know, you got to go through, it's called, what do you call that? When they take a brush and they have to get out the oh, it was so bad. When they have to get out all the dirt and the rock and everything out of you. Yeah, right?
Oh.
So I'm like, it hurts so bad. And I just remember thinking, this is horrible. Well, then the worst part is my boyfriend had the audacity to say to me, okay, well, can you ride the moped back down?
Oh, God.
And I was so angry, and I was so pissed off, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So now I'm riding this thing down. Now, keep in mind, like,
man.
My arm is, like, I have a fever. I'm all bandaged up, you know, my leg and my arm and in my back. And thank God I didn't hit my face. It was really wild. So anyways, we're going down the mountain. And I just lost it. I think I had a nervous breakdown, and I start screaming. And this lady was like, this woman saw me, and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And I'm screaming, and I'm like, can you believe I fell off, and my boyfriend's having me drive this thing? I was like, flipped out.
So what?
And then I think we got a cab or whatever to get back, and we left the mopeds, and I'm like, you could deal with that. It was awful.
Oh, that's so terrible. That's so and another bad memory associated with Hawaii, which is so bad.
But Nick, wait, can I just share one more thing real quick? It's honestly, you would think it is a bad association, but yet it's my most favorite place to go.
Yeah.
And then this happened at a different time, a different boyfriend. So we're in Hawaii, and at the time I was like getting into modeling, and so I knew of this photographer. His name was Sun Star, and he did all this like kind of like sporty type photography. And like if you go to Hawaii, you see those calendars with the sailboat or the surfers and stuff, and you know whatever. And they're just sporty. Well, anyway, I convinced this guy to take pictures with me, and then we had to go to the other side of the island, and so he had me on this bike. And when you go down, it's like you're going down on a, it's a decline, right? And when you go down, literally, if you don't stop, you're going to, like, go into traffic. So anyways, I go down, come back up. He's like, okay, do it again. And so I have to turn and smile as he's taking these pictures. And I kid you not, when the one time I went down and I had to go back up, and I thought, wow, can you imagine if I put on the brakes and I just went flying off? Like, and I was just thinking, like, into traffic or something. So I go back down. He's like, okay, you know, I'm coming back down. He put on the brakes so hard and went flying off the bike.
You can't.
And then.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then I broke my arm, and so I didn't even get to take pictures. It was awful.
That's you should stay away from two-wheeled transportation, Paige.
Not only that, I should also stop thinking, like, I wonder what it would feel like, and then it happened.
Wow. Wow, yeah, that's amazing. So, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, the first boyfriend there that you were talking about, that first trip to Hawaii, was it? Mm-hmm. You had to break up with him almost immediately, right? After what he did.
No, of course I was young and naive and stupid. It was just awful. No, I didn't. Not for a while, but yes, I did eventually.
Okay.
It was bad because here I am, like all cooped up. I can't go out. You know, I mean, seriously, I had a fever and everything. You know, Jimmy, that was his first time to Hawaii. He's like, well, do you mind if I go out surfing? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had some doozies, man.
Yeah, I bet. Sounds like it. All right, Paige, thanks for the call, all right?
Oh, you're welcome. Take care.
Okay, take care. There's Paige. Stay away from the two-wheeled transportation, Paige. That's all I'm saying. Jeez. Let's see. 224 area code says drove through tropical storm Alberto on my honeymoon in 94 on the way to Disney World. I should have gotten the hint, and the marriage was a tropical storm. Hello, wait a minute now. Hold it. Hold on a minute. Hold it. And yeah. 847 area code says at the ripe age of 15, a friend and I decided to start a new life down in San Antonio, Texas. We jumped on a Greyhound in Elgin, Illinois. On the way back after everything failed 2 weeks later, everything was lost by Greyhound. Oh, man. What are you, 15 years old? That's it. I'm leaving. I'm going. Let's go to San Antonio. These are great decisions I'm making at the age of 15. Here's Trucker Rich on WGNI. Rich.
Hey, Nick. I'm like you. I believe if we were meant to fly it, we'd all have hangars in our backyards, because I've only flown in the military, and I've only had one pleasant flight.
Okay.
And that was coming back from Baltimore one time. I got invited to sit next to Ann Margaret.
Oh, wow.
Because I was wearing my uniform.
Well.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and, that's, sitting next to, come on, man. I would get on a plane if they said Ann Margaret was on the plane. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was in the back. I mean, I always asked for a seat as far back as I could, because they told me that the black box was in the back of the airplane. I figured sitting in the back, I wouldn't be the first one to the crash. But
see, that's the kind of thinking. Yeah. That's exactly, Rich. That's the kind of thinking I do, you know, as someone who hates to fly.
Right. And then on some of the military flights that we took, like, well, I've told you before about the Pepsi truck running into our airplane in Germany.
Yeah.
But there was a program on, like, history or something like that. The world's 10 most dangerous airports. And the number one was Tegucigalpa, Honduras. We flew into that one with a 747. When we hit the runway, all the baggage compartments blew open, and they told us that they found a crack in the airframe when they got over in Mexico going back home. And the same thing was in Honduras, or no, Guatemala.
Uh-huh.
We had to fly over to Volcano there, and that was a short runway. And I'm thinking, you pilots don't know where you're landing?
Yeah.
Come on here, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
and then,
my God.
Then on the return flights, we had to fly in the back of military cargo planes. My seat was on top of a pile of duffel bags in the back of the airplane. You know, basically, it was where the ramp would drop down.
Oh.
And I'm hoping, I just hope this stays closed.
Yeah.
But,
man.
Yeah. That's... People should not fly. Stay close to the ground.
Right. All right, Rich. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Have a good one. Right, bye-bye.
It is. So, Dan, you know, he mentions, I totally forgot about this. This is a detail that I totally forgot. When we went to Ireland, it was right around that time that Icelandic volcano was erupting, and they were, you know, grounding planes and stuff. And we were, you know, we had to monitor the situation because we were leaving. You know, this was happening a couple of weeks before we were leaving, when we were scheduled to leave to go to Ireland. And so, you know, that added to my anxiety because, you know, like, oh, if you fly, there's going to be debris that can get in the engines and blah, blah, blah. It's dangerous to fly as long as this Icelandic volcano is continuing to erupt, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so we kept calling, you know, we were calling the airport and finding out. And then finally they were like, yeah, we're clear to fly. And I was like freaking out because I'm like, that's great. We're going to be in the air. And that Icelandic volcano is going to go off. We're going to fly right over it, and the train, and, you know, and the plane's going to explode. But we had that. There was a weird window because we flew to Ireland. While we were in Ireland, they grounded all the planes again because of the activity of the volcano, and so there was a possibility that we were going to be stuck in Ireland, you know, because we couldn't fly. And I was like, well, it could be worse places to be stuck. It could be in Atlantic City, but. But we ended up, it was really strange because the window of us being able to fly was right before we left for Ireland, and then right after our trip was just about over. It was very strange. But that added to my anxiety because it was just like, they're grounding planes because of this volcano and we're in the air. And I was like, so. But yeah, that was weird. But we would end up, I wouldn't have minded. I would not have minded at all if we were stuck in Ireland for a while. You know, a couple more weeks in Dublin. At the time, though, you know, I was only part-time here. I was working on the weekend, so I wasn't getting, like, a regular salary or anything. And if I missed, I wouldn't get paid. So I would have come back completely broke and in debt. There's no question about it. But it would have been worth it because it's Ireland. Anyway, all right, everybody hang on. We got a bunch of people who are calling in and texting in. We're talking about nightmare vacation scenarios, trips that went wrong. We were just talking about travel a little bit earlier. I thought we'd have some fun with some of the bad things or the stupid things that happened while you were on vacation. 312-981-7200. More coming up right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and coming up, Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay. We are talking about vacation nightmare stories or travel stories where things went wrong. Real wrong, and we would love to talk to you about that. So share your stories with us by texting or calling us right now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And here's Cindy on WGN. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. When the kids were small, we went up to some place in northern Wisconsin on a lake, and it was sort of a funny place. It was a long resort. They had about 20 cabins along this bluff, and it was The beach was at one end, and the main office and the pool were at the other end, and we were sort of in the middle. And instead of grass or stuff, they had like little boardwalks between the cabins so your feet wouldn't get dirty. I figured as much. At any rate, I didn't feel like old to the other end for the beach or whatever. So I spread the blanket on the green stuff between the cabins and sunned myself there. And then was sort of on a bluff about 20 feet above the water, and my kid had some crayfish in a minnow bucket. And I'd slide down this bluff to get the minnow bucket for him and stuff. At any rate, I came in contact with whatever that green stuff was between the cabins. Turned out it was poison oak or poison ivy or some kind of green vial stuff. And about the second, third day there, I started itching. And whatever it was, it got on the blanket and it got on my clothes, and I was one itchy mess. I cried a lot. Of course, we stayed there to keep the kids happy so they could have a vacation. But when I got home, I was about 2 weeks of sores from one end of me to the other end there. It was horrible. Stupidly, we paid. I remember the looks on the faces of the people. They had this sort of wide-eyed wondering if we, you know, what we were going to do. And we stupidly paid and came home, and I itched and scratched for about 2 weeks. I will never forget that.
Yeah, that's
little
terrible.
Situation.
Yeah, that's terrible. God, poison ivy. Cindy, I'm glad you're okay now, and thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Well, in 1984, we had a brand new Dodge Caravan, and about a month before our planned Disney trip, the oldest kid had chicken pox, but he got over that. So the Friday afternoon that we're out, you know, getting the car loaded and making sure the oven's off and the water's not running and the toilets aren't running, the oldest kid got tied up with the dog and fell down on the driveway and snapped his two front teeth off right at the gum line. So we called the dentist, and we got him to the dentist right away, and he blew air on these two snapped-off teeth. And, of course, he wanted to go to Disney World so bad. He didn't cry. He didn't complain at all. We waited till Saturday morning, and so off we go in our brand-new caravan headed for Florida. We're going to drive all night to make up some of the time that we've lost.
Right.
So down in the middle of Georgia somewhere, we stop at a barbecue place to get some food. And I used the hot sauce. Well, it didn't go down hot, but when it hit bottom, I had a knot in my stomach I couldn't get rid of. Trying Alka-Seltzer and all these other things. And then in the van, still on the way, the oldest kid had been exposed to chicken pox, and we didn't know it, but he was coming down with it. He's puking all over the inside of this brand-new van, which my wife is sopping up with a brand-new swimming suit. We ended up throwing that away. We get to Disney World, and in the morning, Ben, he pops chicken pox head to toe, and you're supposed to stay out of the sun and because that can damage their eyes. So we put a hat on him, dark sunglasses, and covered every square inch of him. Oh, I forgot to say that that when we got our hotel, the room next to us had a water leak, and we had water coming into our room and pouring out the threshold of their room. So it was a trip from hell, for sure.
Oh my God! Well, how your son, who the second son who had the chicken pox, did you guys stay? Did he just stay in and recover?
No, we covered him with a hat and sunglasses and covered every square inch of his body with clothing.
Yeah,
we got a stroller and we pushed him around Disney World because he wanted to go to Disney, so he had no ill effects from that.
Wow!
But having chicken pox and being in the sun can be very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man. Oh, that's unbelievable. That is an unbelievable story, Steve.
Son, it was nasty.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, my God. That's terrible, man. Dan, did you ever have chicken pox?
I did, yes.
Yeah, me too. There wasn't enough calamine lotion in the world. I think I was like 6 or 7 when I got them. And they were going, this was in the 70s, when, you know, mumps would outbreak and measles and stuff like that was still, they were still, you know, it was still like a thing. It went through school. Everybody at school had them, and then eventually I had them. It was miserable. Miserable. I can't imagine that. Like you're at Disney World and you have chicken pox. That's terrible. Oh my God. All right. Let's see. Another quick story here from online. They really weren't bad vacations per se, but all of our vacations growing up were not really vacations. We would go with my dad when he had to go and work on a project that he designed. There would be 3 or 4 days of hanging out in a hotel and swimming. They were never real actual cities that people go for vacations. He would take us to the sites where the crews were working. We would go to dams and stand in the dry area before they got filled up. We would go and look at big holes in dirt. We would check out sewage treatment plants. We did have fun, but we didn't realize that others were going to lakes and skiing or amusement parks or beaches until we got older. They thought that was a vacation. Check out the work site, kids. Now go back to the Marriott and take a swim. That's a vacation. About this one? 7-day camping trip. Nothing but mosquitoes. Rained 5 out of the 7 days. Yeah. All right. We have to break here for the news, and then after the news, we'll jump back into this. If you would like to text us or talk to us with your nightmare vacation travel stories, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies and You Big Dummy. And You Big Dummy, we have more finalists for the Dummy of the Year that we're going to go through, and we've got a vote on that. Right now, though, we are talking about vacation nightmare stories, travel nightmare stories, and we've got some great ones here that we've got from the internet, and we've got a bunch of people who have been texting in and calling in, and if you want to share yours, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
I was in London in 1981, and I went to see the BBC. So anyway, I'm over there for about a week, and then they announced that that air traffic controller strike might take place.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I'm staying in this bed and breakfast hotel, and it's called La Ravna Gora, which was subtitled a Serbian club. And it was a pretty comfortable place. So anyway, just before I was about to leave, I went down to some little corner store to buy a laminated road map, you know, with the streets of London.
Yeah.
And while I was away, one of the hotel staff stole my passport out of my dresser drawer.
Oh.
And I didn't have any trouble getting on the airplane in London. I just showed my boarding pass, you know, with British Airways.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was flying back, and there was some girls sitting next to me, and we were flying back into O'Hare in Chicago, and they made an announcement over the airplane, get your passport and documents ready. And these girls said to me, well, where's your passport? And I said, well, I said I had it at one time, but I said I don't have it now. And they said, boy, you're going to have fun.
Yeah. So.
Oh, but anyway, let me tell you the other part of it, to this story. So anyway, about 5 years later, I was watching Rick Steves Europe, you know, on public TV, and he travels all over, you know, Europe and all that. And the funny thing was, he went to London, and he stayed at the same bed and breakfast hotel that I stayed in. So I wrote him a letter, and I said, hey, Rick, you know, he said, when I'm in London, I stay at La Ravna Gora, which is like in Notting Hill. And he says, it's a real fine bed and breakfast hotel. Well, I wrote the staff and told him that my passport got stolen in there, and the staff wrote back, and he said, well, we'll tell Rick that.
Okay. So you're just, it was a public service message that your passport might be stipped. That's a nightmare. That would be a nightmare. Passport being stolen. Who's going to use it? How are you going to use it? You don't look like the person in the passport. I have a passport at home, and I don't look, nobody looks like me, thank God. John, thanks for the call. Look at that. It's Eddie Volkman, everybody. Hey, Eddie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. When we were kids, actually, we were all just about 10, 11, 12. My dad decided to do this Clark Griswold thing where he was going to rent an RV and take us cross-country to see Mount Rushmore and Old Faithful and the Grand Canyon and end up in California. Well, he didn't get a Winnebago. He got an off-brand someplace, and it was kind of weird-looking. And so we took off, and sure enough, not long on the road, we first got a flat tire. Well, the jiggling of the flat tire caused the gas tank to dislodge, and so you couldn't, the spout up to the gas tank didn't reach the hole, so he had to call some repair guy, and it was a classic case of, you know, like, how much you got? And then we kept going. Then we got to Pike's Peak, where you could drive up to the summit. Well, it got progressively steeper. Then there was a gate where I guess they charge cars to go, you know, further up. So at that point, we pull up to the guy, and he said, my dad said, how much? And he goes, well, it's $8, but I'll just charge you $5 because most of these things don't make it. I think he meant, you know, the steepness, but, you know, my mom, who's the worry wart, of course, smoking, because it was the 70s.
Exactly.
You know, smoking inside this thing.
Right.
You know, and my dad, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be fine. Well, we got up, and we didn't, of course, get to the very top. On the way down, the brake light comes on this thing. And he's actually having trouble braking the thing on these winding roads that didn't have, they probably have better barriers now, but at the time it was coming down. So he started actually using the emergency brake to slow the thing down. And then we got to the bottom of this and went to yet another repair place where they told us, yeah, these brakes are pretty much shot. So thank God for the emergency brake and the wherewithal to think to use it. Or, you know, it's been splattered Volkmans all down in the canyon.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I just find it, I'm just picturing Harry Volkman behind the wheel of this thing using the emergency brake.
Yeah, right. And we were actually going to California to see his brother, whose name was Wally. So,
Wally World. Going to Wally World. Yeah.
I don't. It was Wallace, but they called him Wally. And when the movie came out, I thought, did somebody steal the rights to our story here?
So. Eddie, great story, man. Thanks for sharing it.
All right,
buddy. Bye. Take care. See ya. Eddie Volkman, everybody. I'm sorry, just the picture of picturing Harry Volkman panicking while going down this steep incline, hitting the emergency brake. Oh, that is funny. All right, we got some more texts here. Jesse said, when I was a kid, we were driving through Oklahoma during a snowstorm. Not long after my dad filled that gas tank, he ran over something that ruptured the gas tank. He spent a small fortune getting the car fixed, including the 2 days at a local hotel. At least we were safe, warm, and vending machine fed. Well, there you go. Long as you got that vending machine there, you're all right. Wild Bill says, in 1987, my grandmother was 81, somewhat frail. All her life, she had been scared to board a plane. For family reasons, she needed to travel from Chicago to Virginia, where my aunt lives, so I accompanied her on an Amtrak train. The train ended up 4 hours late. After that, she figured flying couldn't possibly be worse for returning to Chicago. And her first reaction was anger at us because we never told her how beautiful the clouds were above. So to 81 years old, she finally flies. It's like, whoa, come on. I could have done this 45 years ago. 309 area code says, 20 years ago, our 10-year-old son was first to enter our room at the Congress Hotel. As he entered, he was whacked in the head by someone in the bathroom as the room was already occupied by guests. Our second room also had occupants. My husband got locked in the bathroom in the third room with a broken lock. Oh, my God. I've stayed at the Congress Hotel. Yeah. I was fine. 708 area code says, my horrible vacation story is my grandfather planned a trip to New York, and we arrived the morning before the big blackout in 2003. The whole vacation was ruined. We ended up driving up to the Catskills once we got out of the city. Okay. Big blackout of 2003. Oh, man. All right, what do we got here? The original flight was from Miami to Colombia, which is warm weather. This is a story that it's from the internet, by the way. They mentioned the airport closed temporarily due to a plane spinning out. They changed our flight to Bogota, Colombia, which was cold weather, and I was wearing a tank top. Once at Bogota, they mentioned that that airport is still closed, but if I flew to Cartagena, Colombia, I could be closer, and it would be open by then. Once at Cartagena, they sent us a big tour buses to Barranquilla, our original city. Then the bus breaks down. Not to mention, we had no sweaters and no currency since family was going to pick us up. It was crazy. Parents took me to Disney World when I was about five. After only a day or two, I got chicken pox, and we all had to go home. What's going on with that? What's going on with Disney World and chicken pox? Is that like a thing that a... I went on a vacation with my girlfriend and I came back single. And we've heard that one a few times. We were on a cruise and not even out of the Hudson River when we heard a clunk, lights flash, and then there were other weird sounds. The part of the boat that makes it move broke. The part of the boat that makes it move broke. That's very technical. It's very specific and very technical. But there is a company policy to never turn back a ship. They use the backup thing that makes it move. The backup thing that makes it move. But that could only go one quarter of the speed of the normal boat. We literally spent a week doing circles in the ocean until we could return back to New York City port. We got on the local news, though. Okay. I love that. The thing that makes it move. Broke. All right. Oh, boy. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll wrap this up. And then it's National Pizza Week. So we got to get some pizza talk in here because, you know, pizza doesn't deserve a day. It deserves a week. And so we've been talking about pizza pretty much all week. So we got to get some pizza time in here. But if you want to jump in to wrap up these nightmare travel stories, 312-981-7200 for talk or text. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGiglio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, as we do more finalists for Dummy of the Year. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. We're talking about some nightmare travel stories. I got a couple more here, and then we're going to do some pizza talk because it's National Pizza Week. When I was 13, my family and I went to Disney World with grand ambitions. We were going to see everything, but on my first night, I got a gnarly bout of food poisoning, which sacked me for a day and a half. My father and sister went to Animal Kingdom, and my mother stayed beside me in my own personal vomit room, tossing me Pepto as I turned each glug into a pink vomit fountain. At one point, after slowly coming out of the bathroom, my mom said that Goofy had stopped by with a card. I will never know if she was trying to be nice with me or if someone actually came up dressed as Goofy to check on me, but I hope it was the former so that some poor person didn't have to hear those noises coming out of me. It's important to know that I have only vomited on two occasions since that day 20 years ago, not because luck or skill, but because I left all of it in the All-Star Sports Resort. All-Star Sports Resort. Would be goofy coming up to the hotel. My wife, four kids, and I planned on a cross-country vacation to Yellowstone National Park. We had just purchased a new motorhome, and we had the two-week vacation of a lifetime planned. We stopped off in one state where I had not been in 20 years to visit family members. 25 miles from the state line, we were stopped by state patrol. They ran my name and found 15-year-old warrants for my arrest. Did I mention that I had a family in the state? But I had not been there for 20-plus years. It was a Friday. They took me to jail, and I ended up being locked up all weekend. My wife had never driven a huge motorhome before, and I had no idea what had become of them. While I was in jail, I became furious and demanded to know where my family was. They ended up stripping me and locking me in a padded cell. The following Monday, they finally released me. We canceled our vacation and went back home, and I ended up paying off fines for criminal offenses I never committed. Good Lord. And then finally, we'll just be the last one here. I got sun poisoning and a sister got diarrhea on a zip line in the middle of the Mexican wilderness with no bathroom for miles. We went on a 3-hour catamaran boat ride. I got horribly seasick and threw up the entire time. We spent 3 hours at the airport getting scammed into buying different tourist location packs. That sounds like a nightmare. All right. I think the lesson here is, Dan, stay home.
Good lesson.
I think that's it.